The time of the Alter Rebbe, it was in the shul of the Alter Rebbe, there was some kind of a special day, a special simcha, and the Hasidim were going to make a verbrengen, and by the verbrengen it was going to be not just l'chaim and pickles, but it was going to be a meal. It was going to be a whole suda. It was going to be a fleishik meal, meat. They washed, they made hamotzi on the bread. The tables were all set. Everybody was ready. Everybody was sitting. Freilich, they were singing nigunim. And they were waiting for the food to come. And they were all hungry because it was a regular meal. And a certain lady, a certain woman in the town, was going to cook the whole meal. And she had said she was going to cook all of the flesh and all of the food. And she was supposed to bring it to the shul for the suda. And they were waiting. But the time went on and nobody came. And they were very hungry. And they went on singing the gunim and making a few l'chaims and saying divrei teda. And by this time, they were very, very hungry. And still nobody came. And they kept saying, where's that flesh? Where's that food? Where is the food? We're hungry already. The lady said she would come. Now this went on for a while, for some time. Where's the lady? Where's the food? Where's the lady? Where's the food? Where's the flesh? Oi, I'm so hungry. Reb Beryl says, oh, I'm starving. And Reb Chaim says, oh, I'm so hungry. Where's that flesh? I'm so hungry already. After a long time, finally, they see, coming into the shul, the lady was carrying a big pot. And she herself was bringing it to the shul. And she was coming into the shul carrying this big pot of flesh. And all of a sudden, the chassidim, a lot of them, they jumped out of their seat. Oh, look, it's here. Let's go get it. Yeah, let's go get it. And they start climbing over the benches and they start going over to the lady that they were going to take the flesh, that she didn't have to come all the way in. They were going to take the heavy pot from her and they were going to come and take all the flesh. And some of them were carrying their plates, and some of them are carrying their forks, and some of them are carrying their spoons. Yeah, let's go get. And there's a ganz tumult, a big tumult in the shul. All of a sudden, one of the Hasidim, his name was Reb Shmuel Munkus. He ran the fastest. He jumped over a table. He ran the fastest. He grabs the pot from the lady, and instead of putting it down somewhere, he ran right out of the shul with the pot. And the chassidim say, hey, Reb Shmuel, where are you going with the flesh? Bring it back, we're hungry. And he just kept on running, and he runs down the street. And the chassidim are running after him. Some of them still with their plates, and some of them still with their spoons and their forks. Hey, Reb Shmuel, we're hungry. Give us some of the flesh. And Reb Shmuel is running in the front with a pot, and a lot of the chassidim are running after him. They're all running down the road, chasing after him to get the pot away from him. Hey, where are you taking that flesh? He runs all the way to the river. He goes over the bridge, to the middle of the bridge, and the chassidim are running after him. Hey, Reb Shmuel, come back. We want the flesh already. And he takes off the top of the pot, and he dumps over the pot upside down, and all the flesh falls down into the river. He dumps all the flesh out. It fell into the river, and now the fleshy is washing down the river, or sinking down the river, the bottom of the river. And the chassidim couldn't believe it. Hey, we're waiting for an hour for this meal, and we're so hungry. Finally it comes, the woman cooked all the flesh, and you grab the pot, and you run out of the shul, down the road to the bridge, and dump it in the river. What is going on here? What's this? It's ridiculous. What are we going to eat now? Why'd you do this? Kinilov, they were very angry at Reb Shmuel. And he didn't say a word. And now they're walking back to the shul, and they're going down the road, and they're saying, Reb Shmuel, tell us, why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? We're hungry. He wouldn't say a word. Reb Shmuel, You're just not saying anything. You dump all the flesh into the river, and you take away the whole meal, and the woman cooked it and everything, and now we have nothing to eat, and you just go and dump it in the river? What kind of a mishigas is this? All of a sudden, the same woman that had cooked the flesh, she comes running into the shul. Finally, they got back to the shul, and they're still asking Shmuel what was going on. All of a sudden, the woman who cooked the flesh, she comes running in, screaming and crying, "Oi, oi, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, oi, oi." "What's wrong? What happened? What are you crying about?" She said, "Oi, the flesh that I cooked, that was a terrible mistake." What happened? What's wrong?" What happened was that somehow, in some way, the meat that she was supposed to cook, the kosher meat from the sheichet, was by accident put in the wrong place. And the goy, also who had bought a package of meat for that day, they had a goyish worker in that house, that had also bought meat that day that he was going to take home after he was done working in this woman's house. She by accident took his bag of flesh and cooked that bag of flesh. And the kosher flesh was put somewhere else that she didn't know where it was. And the whole pot was treif of meat that she cooked. The whole thing was treif. Because the kosher meat and the not kosher meat got mixed up. And she cooked completely not kosher meat. Treif of meat. She says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry." And everybody all of a sudden realized, look, Baruch Hashem, what if we would have eaten that flesh? We would have chas shalom eaten treif of meat. Well, we didn't eat it. Why didn't we eat it? Because Reb Shmuel dumped it in the river. Now, wait a minute. Now, ken halach, Reb Shmuel Munkus was not the Alter Rebbe. He was a chassid. He wasn't the tzaddik. And everybody's wondering, Reb Shmuel, how did you know to do that? How did you know that this flesh was treif? And therefore, that's why you dumped it in the river. I mean, obviously, he knew there was something wrong. That's why he dumped it in the river. If it would have been kosher flesh, why would he have dumped it in the river? But how did he know? He wasn't by the woman's house. He didn't know what was going on. Now listen closely. Shmuel said, "I knew that there was something wrong with this flesh because everyone wanted it too much. Everyone was too excited." Now, there's two things. There's ruchnius and there's gashmius. There are things for the neshama, and there are things that are just for the body. Things that are more for the yetzahara and for the animal soul. A thing for your neshama, a halakha thing for Hashem, if you want that, if you want it very much, it's very good. The more you want it, the better it is. You want to learn, you want to daven, you want to do a mitzvah, you want to help somebody. As much as you want, you can want more and more. And the more you want it, the better it is. Because you'll just be more halik and learn more Torah and do more mitzvahs. But something for the body, ken halach. To get too excited, to get too excited and to want it too much, this is not a good sign. And in fact, it is a sign, and it could very well be a sign that it's from the Yetzirah. If it's not for a mitzvah, now I'm talking about a thing that's not for Torah, it's not for mitzvahs, it's just for the body, and you get too excited about it, it could very well be a sign that it's from the Yetzirah. Now, yes, this was a verbrengen, it wasn't shul for Hasidim, but they got too excited about the flesh. Reb Shmuel said, there's something wrong over here. He felt that there was something wrong. He went with his feeling, he grabbed the flesh, he dumped it in the river, and sure enough, he was right. There was something not good about this flesh, it was treif. The main thing I want to say is this. There are two kinds of wanting. wanting things for your body, like this boy said. If you want it too much, if you want the nosh too much, or the ice cream, or the cake, or the playing, or the toys, if you get too excited about it, and it's not for Hashem, it's not for Torah mitzvahs, it's not a good sign, and it's not a good thing to want too much, these kinds of things. But if it's Torah mitzvahs, if it is anything with Torah mitzvahs, the more you want it, the better it is. Then there is wanting Mashiach to come. Now this is a special thing. Not only the more you want Mashiach, the better it is, because that's a big halakha thing. But not only that, the more you want Mashiach, the quicker he comes. The faster he will come. Let's say your birthday is in 2 weeks and you want your birthday to come. The more you want it, can it make your birthday come faster? No. Your birthday is still going to be in 2 weeks. But if Mashiach is coming, we don't know when he's coming. The more you want him to come, it makes him to come faster. So that's a very halakha wanting. The more you want, not only the better it is, the quicker the thing happens. It says in the Gemara, if you hear that there's going to be a parade with a Goyish king, a Goyish parade with a Goyish king is coming to town, it says it's a mitzvah to run to see the parade. You shouldn't say, "Ah, a Goyish king with a Goyish parade, who cares?" The Torah itself is saying it's a mitzvah not to walk. You should run to see that parade with a Goyish king and a Goyish parade. Now, of course, I'm not saying there's any avodah zara. There's nothing chas shalom usher to look at. Just think about a Goyish king, a regular Goyish king, if there's such a thing as a regular Goyish king. But I'm saying not from avodah zara. There are such things in the world still as a real king. And if he's going to be in a parade, it's a mitzvah to run to see the parade. Why? It is going to add and make strong your belief in Mashiach. Because Mashiach is also a melech. Melech HaMashiach. And you're going to say like this, if this Goyish king, who does not necessarily keep Torah and mitzvahs, he's not learning Torah, this king, he's not doing mitzvahs, this king, he might even be oiver, he might even go against Hashem's mitzvahs, but he's still a king. And he has such a beautiful parade, and the king himself is so special, and everybody makes such a big deal out of him. And usually a king, of course, has a lot of wealth, and silver and gold, and a lot of people, and a lot of different things with him, and you know, different kinds of people and different kinds of special king things, and it's a royal parade and everybody's excited. So you say, if this king, a Goyish king who doesn't keep Torah mitzvahs, has such covet and has such beauty and such riches, just think when Melech HaMashiach comes, the real king, Hashem's special king who keeps Torah mitzvahs and who is the main king in the whole world, just think how great and wonderful and beautiful and special it's going to be. So by watching this Goyish king, you come closer, you come to a more special connection with the coming of Mashiach, who's also, not only, he's the real main king of the whole world. Who understands this? Mekinalach, you find in the Gemara also stories like this. You probably heard the stories. Rabbi Akiva was walking with some other tzaddikim, and they were 120 miles away from Rome. Now, Rabbi Akiva, was in the time of the end of the second Beis Hamikdash when the Romans destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. A very sad, terrible time. And these tzaddikim were 120 miles from Rome, and they heard a big noise of laughing and singing and dancing and parties. And they said, oy vey. You hear the Romans in Rome? They're making parties and they're singing and dancing and they're celebrating that they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. And they put the Yidden into Golus. And about this they're making a simcha. And the tzaddikim, that not Rabbi Akiva, the other tzaddikim, they started to cry. And Rabbi Akiva started to laugh. And the other tzaddikim said to Rabbi Akiva, what are you laughing about? And he says, what are you crying about? So what are we crying about? Yerushalayim has been destroyed. The Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed. The Yidden have been put into the Golus. Terrible things have happened. And the Romans are celebrating parties that you could hear 120 miles away, the noise in their parties. Of course we're crying. How can you laugh? Rabbi Akiva says, how can I laugh? Because if the people that went against Hashem, the Romans, if they have such parties and singing and dancing and such big simcha, just think when Mashiach comes, the Yidden who keep Hashem's Torah mitzvahs, just think what a great simcha and a great rejoicing is going to be. You understand? Rabbi Akiva looked at it one way. I mean, the other rabbis looked at it one way. You see, the other tzaddikim looked at it one way. Rabbi Akiva looked at it punk for kert. And another maisa happened. They were walking past the place of the Beis Hamikdash. The Romans knocked it down. They smashed it down. And it was just like a big field, a flat field, all smashed up, where the Beis Hamikdash used to be. And there was the place of the Kodesh Kodashim, which of course was the most holy place in the whole world, where the Kohen Gadol would go on Yom Kippur, and in there was the Arna Kodesh. And now they saw a fox, a treifa animal, a fox, comes out from the place where it used to be the Kodesh Kodashim. And the other Chachamim cried, oy, how terrible. Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Again? And they said, what are you laughing about? He says, what are you crying about? What are we crying? The Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed. And it said, and there's a place, and the place where the Kodesh Kodashim used to be is coming out from there, a fox. This is a terrible thing. Of course we're crying. How could you laugh? Rabbi Akiva says, this thing is written about in the Torah, that there's going to be the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Of course, it's very sad, but it says in the Torah about this. And it also says in the Torah that just in the same way there's a destroying the Beis Hamikdash, there's going to be building the third Beis Hamikdash, and Mashiach will come, and old men and old ladies will sit in the streets of Yerushalayim, and the kids are going to play, and it's going to be a wonderful time of simcha, and Hashem will never destroy the third Beis Hamikdash, and Mashiach will come to the Yidden, and everything's going to be wonderful. So the same way Hashem did this part of the Torah and made it come true, Hashem is going to do the other part of the Torah and also make that come true. It's going to be so good for the Yidden. So again, the other Chachamim looked on one side of the picture, and Rabbi Akiva looked on the other side of the picture. So the same thing I told you with this Goyish parade. One thing you could say, this and all that. And the other way you could say, no, you could, for punkt for kehret, you could learn something about it, about Mashiach. You could learn something from it about Mashiach. Now, there was a chassid, and there still is a chassid. He's still alive. His name is Reb Mendel. Reb Mendel was in Siberia in a labor camp for many years, which means he was a prisoner And he had to work hard in the ice and the snow. And because he's a Yid, and he keeps Torah mitzvahs, he could not eat even the little food that they served. He just had to have bread and water. And he had to work very, very hard. And there are many stories about Reb Mendel in the labor camp. One day, the prison guards came in to the prisoners, and they said, "Tomorrow is a day off. You don't have to work tomorrow." And kind of luck, they never heard such a thing. 7 days a week, they had to work. Reb Mendel had Mesiras Nefesh not to work on Shabbos, but it wasn't a day off. He risked his life not to have to work on Shabbos. But the guards are saying, "Tomorrow is a day off. The prisoners don't have to work." What's this, a joke or something? They're making a plan against us? And they said, "Tomorrow, instead of work, we're going to have a show. The guards and the officers are going to be the audience. And the show will be put on by the prisoners. Each prisoner will pick something that he has to do to make a show for the officers and the guards and entertain them, to do something. If you could sing, if you can dance, if you can tell a joke, if you can stand on your hands or juggle, whatever you can do, everyone has to think of something to do." All right. Kenelof, there was a man who slept in the bed. I don't know if they had beds, maybe they slept on the floor, but he slept next to Reb Mendel in the jail. And this man used to tell Reb Mendel, "Do you know what I can do? I can walk the tightrope." And Reb Mendel would say, "Ah, come on. I don't believe you can walk the tightrope. You know, he's just joking." "Yeah, I could walk a tightrope." Now, of course, we know walking a tightrope means you put a rope way up high in the air, and without holding on to anything, you could walk across on that rope. And some people can do it in, you know, a circus or something. Special people can do it. And this man said he could walk the tightrope. And Reb Mendel used to kid him, he couldn't. And then the man said, "Tomorrow when I am called upon to do something for the show, I'm going to walk a tightrope." And sure enough, he told the officers, "I'll need a rope going across the sky. How will they do it?" They tied it onto one building, and they put it across to another building, and in between was just the yard, and the building, the roof was up high, and he would walk across. And of course, all the prisoners and the guards and the officers were excited to see this man. What's going to happen? What'll he do? And sure enough, when it came his turn, he climbed up onto the roof, and he started going on the rope. He took 2 steps, and he fell down. Now, it wasn't so far. He didn't get hurt. He knew how to fall. There's a way how to fall also, you know. People that do these kinds of things up in the air, they know that they're going to fall once in a while. It happens. They learn how to fall. And they fall and they don't get hurt because they know how to fall. He fell down. He didn't get hurt. And he picked himself up and he climbed back onto the roof. And he went another couple of steps and he fell down again. And they start laughing. But he didn't get upset that he didn't get hurt. He climbed up a few times. Finally, he goes across from one end to the other. And everybody starts to clap. Yay! Look, he's walking the tightrope. And he went back again the other way and back and forth. And he was able to get from one roof to the other roof walking on the tightrope. And other people said, "Oh, if he could do that, we could also do that. Let's go up and also do it." And they climbed up and they just fell down, one after the other, and nobody could do it but him. Now, Reb Mendel went over to the man, and Reb Mendel knew, from the Baal Shem Tov it says, from everything that a Yid sees or hears, the reason that you saw it and the reason that you heard it is to learn a lesson in Avodas Hashem, to learn something about how to serve Hashem. So Reb Mendel wanted to learn something from this that he saw about the tightrope walker. How do I use this as a lesson in how I should serve Hashem better? And now, this is what he learned, Kenelach, a very interesting and useful thing. He says to the man, "Why is it that you could walk the tightrope and other people couldn't? There must be a secret. There must be a certain like way, a secret or a trick, that this is what you have to do to be able to walk the tightrope. And only if you know that, then you could be successful and do it. What is the trick? What is the secret of how to do it? And the man said to Reb Mendel, I'll tell you. The main thing you must do is your eyes have to be all the time looking on the end where the end of the rope is tied. And you must have your eyes the whole time on the end point. You must not look down at your feet. You must not look down at the ground. You must not look at your steps one after the other. And don't even look at the rope. Just look on the end. Where are you going in the end? Then all of your steps will fall in place one after the other. And you'll be able to keep on the tightrope and walk to the end. But the minute that you take your eyes off of the end and you start looking down and you start looking at your feet, that's when you fall. You must all the time look on the end and keep going while you're looking on the end and never look to the side and never look down and never look at your feet at each step. Natinlach, Reb Mendel learned many lessons from this. The first lesson he learned is, whenever you're trying to do something and you fall down and it doesn't go, what do? You get up again and you try. That's one thing. Then he said, there are certain things that you have to remember always to look on the end. Because if you look at each thing that happens, you're not going to go. It's not going to work. Now, right now, I'm going to explain this story about Mashiach. The end point that we're looking at now is Mashiach is coming. Now, Kinalach, we have to keep our eyes only on that point, and everything that happens every day and every hour and every different thing that happens, we shouldn't look at that. Because all of these are just steps towards coming of Mashiach. If we are going to take our eyes off and we're going to look at this happened today and this happened an hour ago and this one said this and this one did this and this one said that, Kinalach, we are going to keep falling. If we the whole time will remember Mashiach is coming, the Torah says and the Rebbe said that this is the time of Mashiach, and if we don't take our mind off of it, and we have betachayin that Mashiach is coming, Kinalach, then Mashiach is going to come. It's going to be something like a miracle? That's like walking a tightrope. It doesn't make sense. It's not the normal way. It's a higher koyach. Mashiach will come because we have the higher koyach of betachayin, and we don't give up for a second, and we don't look away for a second. And somehow, some way, in a way that we can't explain, we're going to go towards Mashiach, and Mashiach will come to us. We're going to walk the tightrope. But if we're going to look down at each thing, what happens? Are we going to look down to the ground and say, oy vey, this could happen, or oy vey, that could happen, or oy vey, this did happen, or this did happen, or something else, and oy vey, this, and oy vey, that, kind of luck. Then we're taking our eyes off at the point, we're looking down, or we're looking at our feet, and we're looking at the step. We are, chas v'shalom, going to fall if we do it that way. And because we're learning the story, we know the secret now. That's not the way to do it. The way to do it is just keep looking on the end point. If we fall down ourselves because of that, let's get up again and try again. And in the end, we'll get there. Because we're doing it in a higher way. A yid is not a regular person. A yid is a higher person. A yid doesn't have a regular koyach, he has a higher koyach. But we have to know the secret of how to use that koyach. And now we know the secret of how to use the koyach for the coming of Mashiach, and how to think about Mashiach is coming, so we're going to use it, and we'll get there, and Mashiach will come, and we'll go together with Mashiach to Eretz Israel, to the base HaMikdash HaShlishi, to the third base HaMikdash, and we'll be